Airbnbs, the website that allows you to rent out your room or home online, has become a worldwide hospitality source with 600,000 listings in 34,000 cities in 190 countries. And it's a growing presence in New York with thousands of listings offered. But there have been claims that a large number of these listings are illegal. The company is lobbying in Albany to change hotel laws and to win public support in New York City, plastering ads on the subway, sponsoring the New York City Marathon, and running commercials on TV. On this week's Please Explain, New York State Senator Liz Krueger, an advocate for tenants' rights and affordable housing, joins us to discuss what is legal and illegal about using Airbnb and how the company has the kind of impact the company has had on renters and landlords in the city. And we invite you, our listeners, to join the conversation. You can call us at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. So, Liz, is it illegal for New York City residents to rent out their apartment or home on Airbnb?
If they are staying in their apartment and inviting the guests in while they're there, they are not illegal under state law. If they own a single or double family home, it is not illegal. But if they rent or a co-op or a condo owner in a multifamily dwelling, which the vast majority of New York City is, they are not allowed to rent out their apartment for under 30 days if they're not going to be there. And that's the vast majority, we think, of listers on Airbnb.
So if you're going to go on vacation and you would like to make a little money while you're away, you're breaking the law.
You probably are breaking the law. The question is anybody going to complain? So if you're doing it for a week, a year, and the people who you have show up don't cause a problem resulting in your landlord deciding to go after you or your neighbors coming after you, probably nothing happens.
Of course, if they're going to do the kinds of things that are going to lead your neighbors or your landlord to come after you, it's likely that you're going to be unhappy as well when you come back and find that your house has been trashed.
Well, it's a mixed bag because one of my huge problems on behalf of people who live in the city of New York, this model is taking thousands of units out of residential use. People go and rent 3, 4, 10, 15, 20, 25 units and just become entrepreneurial illegal hotelers. So they are never in those apartments, but the neighbors have to cope with it. And those are every single one of those units is taken off the market for people who are desperately trying to find affordable housing in our city.
Is this covered by the laws that regard subletting?
Yes, it's covered by a huge, actually, set of categories of laws. So there's, first off, your contract law, your lease, your bylaws. I can't find a lease or bylaw in the city of New York that allows you to do short-term subletting without permission from your board or your landlord. It violates state law that I passed in 2010. There was already law, but it was confusing. So a clarifying law that you can't sublet for under 30 days in the city of New York in a multifamily dwelling. Yes, your own home. Different if you're staying because that's not really a sublet. It violates using a residential apartment for a business purpose. It violates zoning ordinances. It violates tax law. It violates commercial versus residential standards and law. There's lots and lots and lots of laws you might be breaking. The risk to you as someone who does it is what kind of trouble can you get in?
Didn't the hotel industry lobby for the 2010 illegal hotel law?
No, they did not. They did not know about the proposed law until it was introduced, and Dick Gottfried from the Assembly and I worked on it with city government for literally 5 years before we introduced it. Only then did I get a call from the hotel saying, "What is this bill? Is it bad for us? We don't understand what you're doing to us." We explained what illegal hoteling was. They had no idea it was going on because it was a small issue compared to today. And so we actually had to explain to them why it wasn't intended to harm legitimate hotels. So no, they did not lobby for the law.
And some people say that they actually protect the whole hotel industry from competition.
Well, I have no problems with competition in business, but I think everybody ought to follow the same laws and there ought to be even playing fields. So if you're one entity in the hospitality business and you're following building code, fire code, increased insurance requirements, staff ratio rules, and safety rules, and it costs you X, and then you're somebody else in the hospitality industry, and you're running a website, and you don't have any liability, you don't really give a damn what happens. Yeah, yours is a cheaper model, but is it fair? I don't think it is a fair and even playing field under this circumstance.
How many of these renter entrepreneurs do you think are out there?
Tens of thousands, but we don't have an exact number.
They're tying up apartments that would be rented
by
the rest of us?
Yes, sir. And the Attorney General of New York State, Eric Schneiderman, spent months and months trying to get these companies to just turn over that information, which, of course, Airbnb refused, and he had to take them to court and fight it out just to get the information.
Well, now he has those listings.
Yes.
And what has he discovered?
You know, we have to ask him. The deal is the Attorney General has the information. I believe the City of New York has the information. You and I are not allowed access to that information.
You said that the enforcement system is complaint-based.
Yes.
Is that effective, or do you think that that needs to be changed?
I think it needs to be strengthened. We know that in the City of New York, if you believe this is happening, you can call 311 and make a complaint, and they are tracked, and there is enforcement on X percent. But based on the city's own statement recently in a newspaper article, that the complaints have gone up 50% in 6 or 7 months, the enforcement model versus the mass marketing efforts by Airbnb, you know, they're winning this fight at the moment.
Who would be called with the complaint?
311. Then it goes
in. They don't call your office?
311 doesn't call my office, although because I talk so much about this issue, I feel like as many people call my office as maybe calling 311, yes. But 311 then feeds into a system. At least it used to be under the Bloomberg administration. I'm not totally clear right now. It was the Office of Special Enforcement who had a task force coordinating with Department of Buildings, Fire, Police, HPD.
Are most of the complaints because the people who are in those apartments are making noise, or do we see a full range? Are there some people who just want to be whistleblowers of a sort?
No, I actually don't really get whistleblower calls. I get calls from people going, I'm an elderly woman in a small building without staff. I know everyone who lives in my building. I never let anybody walk in behind me because I'm a smart New Yorker and I don't let somebody slide in the door. And now people I don't know have keys to the building. They're in my elevators. They're partying late at night. I'm scared. There's no one to complain to when things go wrong because the person who's supposed to be in that apartment isn't. But I get calls from landlords saying they get hit with penalties, financial penalties, and they didn't even know this was going on in their building and they can't figure out how to get people out.
But the first complainant, would it be any different if it was a legal Airbnb? If I were in my apartment and I were renting out a room, there would still be strangers in the building. They'd still be in the elevator and they still have a key.
No, they probably wouldn't have a key, actually, if they're staying in your place. And when you say to your neighbor, what the hell are you doing? This isn't okay, or I'm nervous, we need to work this out. There's someone to talk to. If, again, this doesn't, there's law and then there's corporate business law of a lease or bylaw. So most co-op and condo boards have told me if somebody brings this to me as a complaint, we're going to order them that they can't do it. Again, that's not state law. That's corporate law. Most landlords, if they keep getting complaints about something going on while you're in the apartment subletting, they'll do something about it.
Can they evict a tenant for renting out a room in their apartment?
Yes. We're seeing a growing a room in your apartment. There's fairly broad possibilities as long as you're staying there. But if you have a lease and then you're illegally subletting your whole apartment, yes, they can evict you, and they are doing so.
We are talking about Airbnb and sublets in general with New York State Senator Liz Krueger on today's Please Explain. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate, and we invite your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. The law is the same whether it's for a condo, a co-op, or a rental apartment?
The state law, yes. The underlying corporate law of what does your lease say versus what do your bylaws say obviously can be different, because if you buy a condo or a co-op, the bylaws of that corporation can vary by the people who own.
Let's take a call. Andrew from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just find that this is very punitive towards the small owners. There's so many laws that I feel aren't enforced. I'm in a co-op where the sponsor still owns approximately 60% of the shares, and he refuses to sell, which technically is illegal.
Right.
It happens all over the city, and it's never enforced. It's never been enforced by the Attorney General, and now they're coming after individuals who in some cases are unable to sell their apartments because the sponsor refuses to sell and banks won't finance. Why won't that be enforced?
No, I agree with you. We've had an enormous frustration forever that we can't get the laws enforced around sponsors. So I've no disagreement. But the Airbnb issue tends to be the actual, if you're in a co-op, is it a condo or a co-op? It's your neighbors complaining this is going on. And the board, per se, of the building making its own sort of internal determinations about how it's going to handle this.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very suspicious how much this is being driven by the hotel industry, and politicians are taking the hotel money and doing their bidding.
We'll follow up on that a bit more, Andrew. Don't worry.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Tom from Port Monmouth. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much. I live in New Jersey now, but I lived on 14th Street in a single room only occupancy SRO for 10 years. I moved in 2008 because around 2007, the owners of this building started renting out the rooms as people left the SRO. And there's a lot of people who live there. There's a man who lived there for 30 years. There's quite a few people who live there a long time. And as people started to leave, they started to rent them out as hotel rooms overnight to overnight guests. So all of a sudden, we're getting strangers in the building. I even have a website called Hotel 309. And I complained to many people, but no one seemed to really do anything about it. And I was wondering, like, we're still concerned, is that legal? Because I talked to someone from the building the other day, and he's getting a little frustrated because now it's about 80% rental, and he still lives there with all of these strangers coming in the building every day.
Okay, that is absolutely illegal, and that's exactly the type of story that motivated me to develop the legislation. And so it's on 14th Street. Give me the exact address because I will follow up.
309, that's actually their website. The building is 309 also.
Okay. I bet that that is on the list of entities that should be being gone after. It's my frustration that there's not enough enforcement, because that happens where landlords actually attempt to harass tenants out of the building so that they can do an illegal conversion.
Tom, I'm going to put you on hold, and you can talk to one of my producers and give him all the information, okay? What changes does Airbnb want to make to the 2010 hotel law? They're lobbying Albany, aren't they?
They lobbied Albany with three or four different pieces of legislation. Thank goodness none of them appear to be going anywhere. They pretend they just want to fit a niche somehow that they can be legal within, but at least the bill that they seem to be most excited about in the latest version would be a bill that would actually gut all housing regulation. It would end rent regulation. It would basically gut much of landlord contract law. So they recognize that their business model...
We're talking about rent control?
Yes, sir.
And all of the other...
All rent control, stabilization, landlord-tenant law, because it all is... Somehow they actually are violating so many laws that they really just want it all gutted to make their lives easier. They don't really care what happens in real life to real New York City residents.
Haven't they proposed having Airbnb pay hotel taxes? Surely many lawmakers can't be opposed to that.
Well, here's the problem. I've talked to lawyers who specialize in eviction prevention and protecting tenants, and they point out and hold it up to the law to me. If you have a lease, it says it's a lease for a residential apartment. You are not running a business out of it. Go look at your lease if you live in rental housing. If you pay a hotel tax, you are proving you are running an illegal business. So, yeah, the city might make a little hotel tax money, and I'm in politics. We like tax money. But at the cost of potentially opening up the floodgates of evictions of affordable housing. I don't want anyone evicted from their home. I spent 20 years of my life before I became a senator helping make sure low-income people didn't lose their homes. So I don't want people to pay a hotel tax so somebody feels good and they all lose their homes. And they've estimated Airbnb 20, 25 million in taxes to New York City a year. You and I think that's a lot of money, Leonard. That's the equivalent of about 60 new affordable units coming on the market versus tens of thousands of units being taken off the market as we speak.
Bloomberg Businessweek reported that a New York landlord, Ken Podziba, contacted the mayor's Office of Special Enforcement when he found tenants using Airbnb illegally. But he found out that the rental violation fines were leveled against building owners, not guests or hosts. Are there any penalties for renters who break these laws, or are building owners the only ones who are liable?
The penalties are under city law, not state law. But my understanding is the city can, in fact, fine both the owner and the tenant. The city says they find it harder to even find the legal tenant. But yes, when they find illegal activity going on in a building, they find the owner of the building, which is, in fact, one of the complaints we get from owners, including Ken, about the fact that it's very difficult for them to track down this illegal activity. They don't like it. They want to stop it. And they're paying a price for it.
Which seems to be more common, landlords or tenants using Airbnb?
I think it's far more entrepreneurs. It's not necessary. There are tenants, but then there are the people who just go, let me figure out how to rent 8, 10, 15 units and become entrepreneurs.
Some building owners have hired private investigators to pose as Airbnb guests in order to evict tenants who rent their apartments.
Right, because that's easy proof for getting them evicted.
Is that ethical?
Ethical and real estate. I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
Did you can't put those two words together?
Look, it's the landlord's right to ensure that the leases are being followed and the building laws are being followed. I don't want to see people evicted. It is extremely painful when somebody calls up my office and says, my landlord's trying to evict me because I was hosting on Airbnb. And by the way, we have begged Airbnb and the other companies, put the laws up on the website. Let people know, buyer beware, seller beware. Your whole business model is you make money off of the credit card transactions. You have a legal obligation to let people know what they might be walking into. They still do not agree or cooperate.
My guest on today's Please Explain is New York State Senator Liz Krueger. We will continue this look at renting your apartment on Airbnb and related matters after we take a little break. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We are back with Liz Krueger. She's a New York State Senator, and we're talking about renting your apartment on Airbnb and related matters. There's a problem here in New York. Hotels can be extremely expensive, and even the ones in inconvenient locations can be expensive, I've discovered. Ones that seem to be claiming that they're in Park Slope, but actually are in between a couple of taxicab outlets. But they still rent their rooms for $200 or more. Isn't Airbnb helping to give people inexpensive alternatives to stay in New York? And we do like those tourists, don't we?
We love tourists. We don't love tourists taking residential buildings away from the residents of the city of New York. We don't like them causing havoc in buildings. And there's reasons that we have different laws for hotel standards. I think the hotel industry needs to expand to better compete. They are putting huge number of new rooms online, literally as we speak, throughout the five boroughs. I gave up knowing what the boundary lines of Park Slope were a really long time ago. It's been changing my whole lifetime.
Well, I think between 3rd and 2nd Avenues is not really Park Slope.
You know what? You can fight it out with the Brooklynites. I represent Manhattan. But there is a need for more cost-effective hoteling. And I'm hoping that the city and this administration will take seriously the proposal to create for-profit hostels. We actually have a law that doesn't allow hostels, which are all over Europe and other parts of the country, which offer a safe hotel model at a lower cost, but not in residential buildings. We have to stop people from thinking it's okay to decrease our housing stock of affordable housing. We have to get people to understand. I have people who say all the time, but it's my home, and why shouldn't I be able to make extra money on it? And I say, do your neighbors next to you, above and below you, get to share in this? They get the problems. They don't get any of the profit. Does the landlord, who may be under rent regulation laws that say he can't charge more than X amount, and trust me, he wants to? So he has all the costs associated with the problems in the building, but you should be able to get profit. You know, it's the public interest is looking at the commons, what is important for the majority of people.
Local businesses are also helped when new people are brought into the neighborhood, even on a temporary basis.
Well, and businesses are helped when we have tourists in New York City. So there's all kinds of legal ways to come to New York City and be tourists. Ironically, the other side of the story we don't hear that much about as New Yorkers is when tourists come and have bad experiences and tell their friends and family back at home, oh, don't go to New York City. The hotel experience was horrible. It was a wreck. I couldn't get my money back. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And we see those storylines on websites around the world, which is why New York City's government had actually been fairly active in pointing out this can be bad for tourism. And by the way, this is happening in cities all over the world. We compare notes all the time. San Francisco is outraged about what's going on and driving up the rent costs and driving tenants out. Portland, Oregon, London, Paris, parts of major cities in Canada. Spain just fined Airbnb some mind-boggling amount of money for continuing to run this kind of business illegally.
I rented a wonderful apartment in Paris in Montmartre a couple of years ago for 5 days. It put me in a great area. The price was right. I could cook in my room as well. And Paris has just made that illegal. So I guess that's happening in cities all over the world.
And because we don't live in Paris, we don't know what the story is from the perspective of the Parisians.
I do know. I wish I could go back to that place.
Okay, but we don't know how many people in Paris have had bad experience, have been forced out of their buildings. I interviewed with a German newspaper. They said the whole sections of Berlin have now been wiped out for Berliners. That's not supposed to be okay.
In fact, I did that in Berlin as well, and I was told by the rental agent that we should call ourselves the Krugers or whatever name they had on the door.
Oh, good. Right, because they knew it was illegal.
Let's take another call. Natalia from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there, thanks for having me on. This is a really fascinating subject. So I have a question with regard to cities who have been able to embrace Airbnb. Have you looked at those to see, you know, what they're doing right or how they're working with the people to actually, you know, come to some sort of agreement? The fact that so many people are still signing on in New York, even given all these warnings, and people are still doing it, means they must be having good experiences. So can you share a little bit, you know, maybe what you've seen in cities who do it well?
Well, the areas where there don't seem to be problems, in fact, are where there are a lot of single-family homes, because no problem for you to go ahead and make a deal with a private owner. The cities that are large, densely populated, have a shortage of affordable housing, haven't made accommodations. They've been just having growing problems. Interestingly, while it's true that there's a huge number of people who want to be hosts and want to be guests, the data analysis I have seen shows that hosts drop out incredibly quickly. So there's a lot of people who try it as hosts and then stop. There's a continuing rotation of people who then seem to go on as new hosts. But this whole phenomenon is pretty new. And the question is, 5 years from now, I don't know what will happen. I know what will happen here. This whole thing is so that Airbnb can do a public offering, get the $10 billion they hope to get, and then run for the hills anyway.
Well, so one thing, I'm actually originally from Chicago, and Chicago is a pretty dense city, and Airbnb is accepted there.
I don't know what the laws of Chicago are. So Chicago allows you to sublet your apartment under any circumstances as frequently as you want. I'd be surprised if the leases say that.
Thank you for calling us. We now are going to Jenny from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, it's nice to be on. I tuned in late, so I'm not sure what you've already covered, but I have
everything,
been hosting,
Jenny.
I've been hosting in Bed-Stuy. I live in a two-bedroom brownstone in Bed-Stuy, and I've lived there for about 5 years. I had a roommate for 3 years, and then when my boyfriend moved in, we had an extra room. We use Airbnb all over the world when we travel, and we've been hosting for a year, and we've had nothing but amazing experiences. I do think there's a huge problem in New York with affordable housing, and I do think it's a problem that, you know, people are losing access to long-term rooms for rent, but why? I wish there could be, like, a less all-negative stance toward it, because everyone who's hosted it had a great experience, and Airbnb rooms are so much cheaper than hotels in New York especially, but all over the world.
So what would the ideal situation be for you, Liz?
Well, again, under the law, the state law, Jenny's not doing anything illegal. She says that they've had wonderful experiences with their guests. I'd be surprised to hear that she's being harassed into not doing this because, again, I heard her say she and her boyfriend stay in that apartment in one bedroom and have guests come and stay in another bedroom. And apparently, unless you want to tell me, you don't have neighbors who have been complaining about this in the brownstone. So it's working, and our laws aren't impacting you negatively.
Okay, Jenny? You're
doing
okay.
That's true. From our understanding, we're not doing anything illegal.
Well, yeah, but if you leave the apartment and have people stay for five days, is it?
Well, no, under 30 days.
Under 30 days, that's illegal.
Right.
But so why can't you guys make legislation that would prohibit something like, you know, more than one or two rooms for rent in a building so that we don't, you know, end up with a building with a person like New Jersey who called that has 80 rooms for rent?
Well, again, in his example, it is illegal. The problem is enforcement. We don't have enough enforcement. We have a law. And putting a law in that said in any given building you couldn't have more than one or two is a bit tricky because who would decide? Your neighbors would get together and take a vote on which of you got to do this and which of you didn't. I'm not exactly sure how you could legislate that.
Kyle has written in on Twitter. He asks, I live in a three-room apartment and want to rent out a living room that's less than 80 square feet. Our landlord is making us report the number of tenants in the apartment. Is that legal?
A landlord can absolutely ask you to keep track of and report to them how many tenants and what frequency do you sublet? Yes. There isn't anything in the illegal hotel law specific to square foot or living room versus bedroom.
Josh from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? My question is about house swapping. My wife and I did a house swap that worked out great with a couple in Barcelona. And in that case, you have somebody staying in your apartment and you're staying in their apartment, so you kind of want somebody to treat their apartment the way you'd want your apartment to be treated.
But according to what you've been saying, Liz, that is illegal.
Well, I don't know. So house swapping, but it's an apartment here and an apartment there, not a house?
Right.
Okay.
Two apartments.
So you technically, swapping. You're not exchanging money, so it's not what was intended with the illegal hotel law, which was renting out and charging. So house swapping, to be honest, is a little gray area as to what the building's policies are, what your lease might say, and whether your neighbors are going to, or your landlord are going to go, wait a second here, it's not okay. But in fact, apartment swapping has been going on forever. It was never seemingly any issue that was being brought to us as complaints in the past. And my gut is that probably your neighbors aren't complaining now.
But as long as there isn't an exchange of money,
there's no financial exchange, so it doesn't fall under the category we were going after with the illegal hotel law.
Andrew from New York, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Reason why I called in is because I work in real estate, and sometimes when I call some of the landlords and management companies in reference to units that are advertised through, like, OLR, et cetera, for short-term rentals that are furnished, they'll say they've already been rented out, when in reality, sometimes I'll walk by the buildings and I'll find out that from other tenants that they're actually accepting Airbnb people. So I'm just curious to know, what are the logistics for the broker community, and what's the recourse against the landlords and or property management companies that are allowing these things to happen?
And you're absolutely right. We see that also. There are landlords who have figured out this is a good deal. They can make money for themselves even if they're breaking the law.
But this is the equivalent of an SRO when they do it, isn't it?
Well, sometimes it's whole apartments. Mm-hmm. Every variation in the world have we seen. My office used to be on 43rd Street in Midtown. And there were buildings up and down our blocks. If you went and stood and looked up at the buildings, you could see illegal walls being put up between windows, so you know it's an illegal wall because city building code doesn't allow that. And building managers and or owners were actually turning individual apartment units into SROs illegally in violation of building code and fire code and the illegal hotel law, although that was more before we passed the law. Some of that really blatant stuff has stopped since there's the law and the enforcement. But yes, there are management companies doing this. There are landlords who, again, think you can push your tenants out and harass them out by creating fake illegal hotels. There are complicated stories, and since you're in real estate, you know, since the economic boom pre-2008, we built all these buildings. We've had foreign people buy the apartments as investors but not be here. They then maybe find a friend to manage a group of apartments for them. The friend might decide to go into the illegal hoteling business, and sometimes that friend works for the management company. So there are all kinds of variations. You can make complaints formally into 311. And if you're working, especially as someone in real estate, we're desperately looking for people in real estate to come together and help us document the problems and work with us to try to stop them.
On the other hand, several callers have called in to say they cannot afford rent if they can't use Airbnb.
Not being able to afford rent is one of the biggest problems in the city of New York. It is, in my opinion, the risk we face for the future of this great city. Your crisis affording rent translating into your going into actual illegal activity increases everyone's rent because it takes units off the market, which decreases supply, increases demand, hence increases cost, and allows more of these units in residential buildings to disappear on us.
Just one more question from a number of listeners who are suspicious types. They've been writing in on Twitter, whether you have received any donations from the hotel industry.
You know, probably yes. I would say we can all look it up because my campaign filings are right up there on the New York State Board of Elections. I'm going to say since I ran for office in 2002, I have probably raised and spent at least $2 million as a candidate. I think the last time we checked, money specifically from people involved in hotels added up to, I want to say, maybe $12,000 over that 12-year period. Anybody can accuse me of doing this for whatever reasons they wish. I'm very sure of who I am and why I'm doing this. It's to protect affordable housing and residents of the city of New York in their homes.
Very quickly, because we're out of time, some people ask if 30 days is arbitrary.
There's a whole history of state and city law with 30 days as the defining amount.
New York State Senator Liz Krueger has been our guest on today's Please Explain. Thank you so much.
Thank you.